It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This is my last chat with James Shaw for the year because next week is 95BFM's news, the best of, the roundup of all of our best stories of the year. This week I spoke to James about the four bills that were raced through Parliament in its first week of sitting last week, which are a new tax bracket for Aotearoa's highest earners, legalising drug testing at festivals and events, extending annual sick leave from 5 to 10 days, and increasing the speed at which the government can change COVID-19 alert levels. I began by asking about the new tax bracket. Part of this bill is the introduction of a new top personal tax rate of 39% on incomes in excess of $180,000 a year. National, ACT and the Greens are all against the introduction of this bill, and the Greens say it will increase inequality. So I begin by asking how.
I know, it seems counterintuitive, right? So the issue is that when you increase income taxes, particularly on high earners, without a corresponding capital gains tax or wealth taxes on the other side, what it does is it encourages high-income earners who are able to control the form of compensation that they take, so, you know, people who work for themselves or in some small businesses and so on, encourages them to divert that, and instead of taking income tax, they can accrue benefit via assets, right? So what that means is it diverts more money into the housing market and inflates house prices even more than they already are. And so the last time this happened, which was in the year 2000, Michael Cullen put up the top tax bracket in April of 2000. House prices rose 17% as a direct result of that. And so I know it's counterintuitive, but you know what we were saying last week is, look, it is highly likely that the net effect of this will actually be to increase inequality by increasing house prices yet again, and making it even harder for those who aren't already in the property market to get in. And we just thought that was too great a risk to take, especially because the amount of revenue that it would gather is anemic. It's tiny compared to what's actually required to maintain public services whilst we've got a sort of COVID recovery going on.
There are rules about how quickly bills can be progressed, but these four have been chosen to be ticked off before Christmas. I can understand why the next three that we'll talk about have been pushed through quickly, as they're either COVID-19 related and drug testing is very relevant during summer's festival season. But why did the government see this new tax bracket as something that couldn't wait?
Well, because it had been signalled during the election campaign, and the thing about tax changes generally is that when they well signalled in advance, then what happens is people change their behaviour in the run-up to when it passes. And so I think the government basically took the view that, look, if we don't stick it through now and under urgency, then what will happen is that between now and when it eventually does pass, you'll see massive reorganising of people's affairs and, you know, to kind of avoid paying the tax.
So National and ACT both voted against this bill. The Greens disagree with it, but as part of your agreement with Labor, you couldn't vote against it and you abstained. How do you imagine this arrangement and not being able to vote against Labor will affect the Greens being able to hold them accountable this term and also achieve some of your own goals?
I mean, that wasn't the only reason that we didn't vote against it. There are things about it that we actually quite liked as well. It's just that on balance, we couldn't support it, so that's why we abstained. So, I mean, we actually do believe in more progressive income taxes, right? So there was that. But also the bill included new provisions to gather information about, you know, people diverting their what should be taxable income into trusts. And we support that as well. So it was one of those things. It wasn't a bill that was all bad. It was just that on balance, we felt it would do more harm than good. And therefore, we felt we said, actually, we can't endorse that through a positive vote. But also, we didn't want to vote against the things in it that we support.
Mm. I'd like to move now to the drug testing at festivals bill, which will allow for drug testing stations to set up at festivals or events legally, as before they were at risk of prosecution for handling illegal substances, or venues were at risk of being prosecuted for allowing this to happen. The law will expire after 1 year, and then the government plans to work on a replacement bill. Why do you think it'll need to expire? What about it will need to change?
Well, I think that the government wants to take a much more comprehensive look at the Misuse of Drugs Act and kind of the whole regime. And so kind of picking off this one component, especially under urgency, you know, where you're doing something because you want to be able to make a difference over this coming summer and the festival season that's happening now, but you're not wholly sure that that every element of it is perfect. Actually, I think it is quite good to have an expiry date, because that then says, right, let's get through the summer, make sure that we do what we can to support a regime where people can have their drugs tested for safety and so on without kind of anyone getting pinged legally for that, then to take a sort of a more considered look at it and as part of a larger health approach.
What do you say to the likes of National, who voted against it, who believe that this will encourage people to try drugs who otherwise wouldn't?
If they look at the evidence from around the world, they will see that that is not what happens. And this is, I have to say that their position makes me incredibly angry, because it actually puts people's health at risk. And we do know that people are taking drugs that are mixed with, you know, things that are, you know, extremely dangerous. And that I find that their kind of position was just something that they're saying politically, but actually they've got no evidence for it at all.
How have health officials reacted to this?
I think broadly speaking, you know, they're in favour of anything that reduces harm, and this reduces harm.
Do you believe that the gradual shift to treating drug use in Aotearoa as a health issue rather than criminal activity could result in other progressive change in this regard from the Labor majority during this government term?
Yes, I do. And I think if you look at the cannabis referendum and the fact that that was so razor close, and actually there's a lot of evidence that people who voted against it still wanted, not everyone, but some of the people who voted against it still wanted a more health rather than judicial approach towards managing drugs in New Zealand. I think what that suggests is that there is a majority of people who are looking for a health approach rather than a criminal justice approach. And so what that suggests is that this government does have leeway to say, okay, well, what are the things that we can do short of legalising cannabis that would help to shift the dial on that kind of thing?
On to another health-related bill that went through Parliament last week. There's a bill to increase sick leave from 5 to 10 days, which is something that the Greens have pushed for and we've spoken about before during this year. Even with the increase, we'll still be behind the likes of other OECD countries, such as Australia, who allow for 2 weeks. Would you like to see this leave increased again? Do you see this as a gradual process?
I do think so, but I think the main thing we were pushing for with this bill was to say, well, can we put this whole bill through under urgency rather than just getting it into the House and then taking our time about it? Because over the course of the summer, and whilst COVID is still happening, we already know that people's behaviour has been shaped by the fact that they've got such limited leave. We know that there have been cases where people have either refused to get tested because they're worried about having to take time off and they fear that they'll lose their jobs, or if they are getting tested and they're going to work until they get their results. And actually, if you have what you think might be COVID-related symptoms and go and get tested, that you stay at home until you get the results of your test back. We were actually pushing for this bill to move faster.
On that topic of time, when will we be able to see this introduced?
To tell you the honest truth, I can't remember off the top of my head when they said that they would pass the bill, but I think it'll be probably March or April of next year.
And the last bill that went through is the quickening of COVID-19 alert level changes. Could you just clarify, the COVID-19 response minister, Chris Hipkins, gave examples of how this makes sense when they've ascertained that there's no longer a risk and can remove restrictions, so going down levels. But does it also apply to being able to move up levels faster when there is a risk there?
I don't think so. I think the main thing about moving up levels is that there are practical considerations at play. So you'll have noticed on the kind of two occasions that we've done that as a government, We've given people time to adjust. So we've said, you know, as of midnight tomorrow or midnight Wednesday, you know, we'll be moving to alert level two or whatever. And you can't just sort of do it immediately because things are all already in operation and people need time to get their affairs in order, if you like. And so the main purpose of this bill was to be able to say, you know, as you say, just kind of, once it's all clear, move down more quickly. But the other one actually is a very simple and straightforward adjustment, which is that we've never had a Minister for COVID-19 response before, and they need to be able, under the Health Act, to be able to take the lead on those kinds of orders that you're describing. And previously, under the terms of the Act, it's only been the Health Minister who can do that. So it was just a technical adjustment to allow COVID-19 response minister to kind of do their job.
Do you know of any other countries that have introduced a COVID-19 response minister?
I don't, though I'm sure they're out there.
To wrap up, James, I was just wondering what you were planning on for Christmas.
I think, like a lot of New Zealanders who have been quite exhausted by 2020, I intend to lie on the beach in the sun and put my headphones on and just probably doze a lot, because I think, you know, I, like virtually everybody else in the country, are feeling the cumulative effects of what has been quite an extraordinary year.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party.
The Wire. An